to Kaleidoscope EDU. My name is Emily Wong. I'm a second-generation Chinese-Canadian and first-generation teacher. Kaleidoscope EDU is dedicated to amplifying the voices of Canadian women of color teachers. I'm here, you're here, we are here. And teaching is a great gig. Come join us. Today, I am really excited to introduce a friend and classmate, Medina Hilole. Welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Medina, and I'm a second-year teacher candidate at Ottawa University. I specialize in math and biology, and I hope to actually become a math teacher.
Awesome. So you know that Kaleidoscope EDU is about amplifying the voices of women of color teaching in Canada. So what compelled you to say yes when I invited you to the podcast?
I think it's a really great platform to have. I think you're doing a great job with this. And I think we all need to come together and kind of share ideas, which is another awesome way of doing it, as well to motivate other women of color, to motivate them into becoming teachers and to kind of maybe help them realize that maybe teaching is the right field for them.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw a curveball at you because I didn't prepare you for this. But as you're talking about, you know, using this partly as a way to motivate other women of color, maybe to become teachers and join the education field. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on how this podcast could do that? Like what ways it could kind of reach out?
I guess maybe showing them what to expect by sharing our experiences and what we've all, I guess, seen while we were teaching in our practicums, mm-hmm. as well as even sharing ideas, right? So by having that type of voice out and just sharing these ideas, it can kind of push other women of color who are thinking about maybe teaching to kind of be like, oh, there's other women who are also on this journey and I could do that as well, right? So I'm hoping that this platform does that for women of color, you know?
Yeah, that's really neat. Yeah. And I'll have to think about, you know, because when I think about encouraging other women of color to, you know, join teaching, like I'm really thinking about people who are sort of younger, more kind of in undergrad, I guess. And that's, you know, my experience is that you go to high school, then you go to undergrad, then you, you know, pursue some education afterwards, then hopefully you get a job. And that's my worldview. So I'm trying to think about this podcast in that way. And that's a really, like, it's an interesting step that I hadn't considered. Yeah. So I'll have to think more about
it. Definitely. I think
that might work.
If you bring a sense of community, right, for a woman of color to know that, you know, there is a community out there who are in the teaching field, I think it'd make them feel more comfortable knowing that there's support, you know, going into the field. So definitely, I think this podcast is doing some great things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you did awesome with my thinking on the fly questions.
Awesome,
so I'll bring you back to something you did prepare.
Okay.
So what was your formal schooling experience as a student of color? And does anything stand out to you that you remember that was sort of because you were a student of color?
So I was born and raised here in Ottawa. So I've always been in the OCTSB growing up, in the elementary and then in high school. One thing that definitely stood out to me was the lack of diverse teachers. I'm not saying my teachers weren't great. They were awesome. But it's just there wasn't teachers that looked like me. The first teacher who I had who looked like me was actually in the BEd program, you know. It was the first time I had a Black teacher as well as a teacher who was, you know, a visible Muslim, so never had that. And it really, like, it was something that stood out to me when I came into the class. I was just pretty shocked, and that excitement and that, you know, I guess I could say being proud of that has definitely motivated me to want to get into the program, right? But seeing that lack of diverse teachers was definitely one thing that I noticed when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested in, like, digging deeper into why that's so important. Because we, like, I've said this before on this very same podcast about how, you know, it matters when we see people, role models, in, you know, positions that we might want to have or be in when we grow up, and, you know, how that matters that there are people who look like us. And I wonder if you have any thoughts on, like, actually why, You know, why is it a big deal?
Because it makes a huge difference in your confidence level, and as well as just knowing that, hey, you know, somebody that looks like me has that position, I could actually be in that position one day, right? Definitely a motivator.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I had my first Black teacher and my first visible muscle woman. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know there was positions like this out for people like me. And seeing that definitely boosts up your confidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In a sense, I think a sense too that like, oh, they made it.
Yeah. Really,
you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they got through.
You're like, yes.
They yeah. might understand mm-hmm. the experiences that I'm going through, and they got through it and
exactly.
got there.
Exactly.
That's very cool.
Exactly.
Cool. Awesome. Well, when did you decide to become a teacher? And what was the response of your circle? So your friends, your family?
Yeah. So education has always been like a really big part in my family life. My dad was an educator, and like he used to run a lot of like tutoring camps when we were younger, and he'd always teach the high school kids, and me and my siblings were in charge of teaching like the younger kids, and that was like my first taste of teaching. And even throughout my undergraduate, like I was really involved in the community working at homework clubs, and I really loved it. And I was at that point in my life where I was thinking of, should I, you know, continue on and do my master's, or should I go into education? But working at that homework club and working with students, diverse students, definitely pushed me to want to actually become a teacher. And it showed me that, you know, it's something that I could see myself doing in the next couple of years. So when I decided to finally take the step and apply to the program, I told my family, and they were really all supportive. They really were totally down with it. I got a lot of positive feedback on that. And I did get one negative feedback where somebody actually told me, they're like, oh, you worked so hard on your undergraduate. Why do you want to get into teaching, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, it's something that I love to do. There's nothing wrong with teaching. But again, there's a bit of a stigma, right, when it comes to teaching, that, I think, in my community. But other than that, it was, majority of it was positive. So
yeah. Good. Yeah. Cool. What is the most exciting or inspiring thing about being a teacher?
Definitely inspiring students and seeing them reach their full potential, or making them realize that they can reach their potential. Like, you know, I think the best thing is like when you try to teach a hard concept, that kids, when they come to you and they go like, I can never understand this. This is so hard. But then getting them to understand it, and then seeing them go like, oh my God, I never thought I would get this. That definitely like motivates me to want to teach. Yeah. And as well as just empowering them and making them see their, like that they can do anything.
Yeah. Nice. And that, I actually do hear that from a lot of math teachers.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. So maybe talk about why. So you said that your teachables are math and bio.
Yeah.
But you want to be a math teacher.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit more about that?
Math is just, it's like a language. And I feel like it's a language that a lot of people think they can't really break through. But I feel like anybody can go through math, like anybody can be able to decipher math. And it's just the language that anybody can understand. And I love that you can take these concepts and show it to students in multiple different ways. And there's always going to be something that clicks with them. So, and that excites me when I teach math. While they're in biology, I feel like it's a lot more of like, you know, it's fun too, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it comes from memorization, right? You have to understand facts
yeah.
and stuff. But with math, it's like there's totally a lot of different ways in understanding, and it's not about memorization. So
yeah, and it's a lot more of that problem solving, aha moments,
exactly.
that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, I had never envisioned myself teaching math,
yeah.
and I still don't really. But I was helping out my cousin, mm-hmm. You know, just a couple weeks ago, and
yeah.
he was stuck on his math. He's in grade 9, and you know, I was helping him out, and I was like, you know what? This is not so bad. I
right,
could do this.
Exactly. Anyone can do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So inspiring students and those aha moments, those are really what get you going. And so do you have a story that you'd like to share about that?
Sure. There was a student that I was working with at the homework club, and like she was a new student, like she was new to Canada. And she was not as confident in her English language. she came to us like when she was in grade 8 and we were trying to build up her confidence level. And recently, I think it was like about 2 years ago, she graduated and got into like university, which was what her goal was and what she wanted to do. And she was so thankful. Like, I remember she brought me a bag full of all these like sweets that I like. I guess she picked up on while I was working at the homework club, like Oreos and chocolates, whatever. And she wrote me a really nice note saying like, thanking us at the homework club, you know, for helping her realize her potential and just like, you know, pushing her to kind of reach her goal, which was to get into university, right? Which is something she didn't even see herself going through at all, you know? But stuff like that kind of like motivates me to want to like really teach, you know, and just kind of reminds me always why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a really nice story.
Yeah.
So does your identity as a woman of color influence your interactions with your school community, students and colleagues and even their families, if you've had experience with that? And if so, how?
Yes, I definitely think it has influenced. I make a lot more better connections with students, for me personally, as a woman of color. I'm able to connect with them a lot more because I kind of understand where they're coming from sometimes, as well as, you know, a lot of the students that I've worked with personally, like, were students of color. So I kind of, like, I was there, you know, I grew up in the city, you know, I was there where they are right now. And I feel like, you know, them being able to see somebody that looks like them, again, boosts up their confidence, right?
Cool. Your identity as a woman of color, does it influence your teaching? So we've had a couple of practicum placements, and have you noticed maybe in your placements when you're in front of students, or you've spent a lot of time at the homework club, so that as well, does it influence the way either you deliver content or the kind of content that you share with your students?
Yes, I always try to make it seem like that we're in a safe space. So I always try to put myself out there a little bit more to the students so they could kind of feel comfortable and feel confident, you know? I try to make it inclusive. So I'll like every day I'll try to talk to a student and I'll talk to them about anything random, you know, I'll be like, yo, how's your weekend? Or if they're on a football team, I'll be like, yo, how's football going? You know, like I try to really emphasize on that, like build up that student teacher relation, even at the homework club too, because I noticed that it really gets them to open up a lot more. And it gets them to really start asking even questions, stuff that they don't understand, because they feel confident enough to come to you and realize that you won't ridicule them or you won't make them feel stupid for asking that type of question, right? So really embedding that safe space.
Yeah. Cool. I really like that answer because I wasn't expecting it, because I'm sort of in, oh, we're in math class, you know, mode. And so, like, I think what you raised is really important, this idea of safety and building a relationship with your students kind of independently from the curriculum. But then it totally comes in because you're saying that they feel safe and comfortable with you so that they can ask questions that they're not scared they're going to be ridiculed.
Exactly.
So they can ask the questions where they're stuck and it really does you know, increase their
Definitely.
Learning.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool.
It's from personal experience as well. Like, when I was younger, I was really shy, right? And I noticed the teachers that really came up to me and asked me questions about, you know, how my weekend was or what I did during the summer or whatever, and really try to get to know me, I felt a lot more comfortable going to them and asking them questions, right? Because I felt like they really were trying to take time in getting to know me as not just a student, but as a, you know, as just a human being, right? So I feel like that's like one of my like goals, I guess, when I have a classroom, is just making sure that it's a safe space so that everybody can feel safe to ask questions, which leads to student achievement, right? So which leads to them being able to do a lot better.
Mm. Cool. And definitely one of your strengths. So
thanks.
Play that up. But we're on the OT list, so it's all good. And we're engineers now. Okay. So let's move to the future. Incredible. What do you see in your future as an educator?
Making education easier, more accessible. Again, with math, I'm hoping to like really understand a lot more concepts and figuring out different ways in teaching the concept. I feel like what's successful is like getting them to understand a concept, but showing them in multiple different ways and not having to get them to just do it in one way, which I find a lot of math teachers tend to kind of do. They want their students to kind of do it in one certain way, right? So definitely, yeah, learning more about that, as well as instilling a sense of community, as that's like my theme of this whole podcast.
I mean, because community is really important, right? Exactly, like, yeah. You know, you can't operate as an island. And, okay. I want to ask, because I think from my own experience in math class, the challenges that I had were I didn't have a solid enough conceptual understanding of different ideas that I could switch between methods. So switching between, so, and when I started math, this was in 2008, I would have started grade 9 math, but I felt it more in grade 10. I think that's when a lot of things changed. So 2009, 2010, I was in grade 10 math class, and they were trying to teach us different concepts using a variety of methods, but I didn't understand any one of them well enough that I really had a hard time switching between both, and it was like difficult, and everybody in my class was having this really huge like resistance to all this different stuff, and even the methods, like, they were new to us as students too. We hadn't really done it in the past in our schooling. So I guess, does that problem still persist, and how would you kind of get over that? And like, did you experience that yourself? Because I feel like it's partly school dependent.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. Growing up, it was more of about doing it one way. Like, they would show you one way, and like, if you were to do it a different way, that was totally fine. But I was fine with just them explaining it in one certain way and then just like producing the answer that way. But again, it's just understanding that a lot of, when it comes to math, you have to show them in different ways. Like, I mean, every student works differently, right? If you teach them one concept, maybe half the classroom will get it, but the other half won't. So giving them the option of like, oh, if you don't understand this way, there's a different way of getting it. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
kind of. I just think that I probably would have been quote unquote more successful, quote unquote, if I had only learned it the one way.
Okay,
because I was getting confused between the two different. So I'm like,
I get what you mean. So I'd probably like maybe emphasize, okay, this way is one way of understanding this concept, and if you get it, stick with this way. This is another way if you don't understand that way, and then you can pick and choose which way suits you. Know what I mean? I probably would pick maybe two ways of doing it. You know what I mean? Probably make it a little bit more visual or something.
I like that. I like that as a solution.
Because like, I use that a lot at the homework club. It's like, it's a lot more because it's like, it's more group wise. It's not like me teaching a whole bunch of 30 students, right? So like, when I'm there at the homework club, I'll teach them one way, and they'll be like, oh, I don't get that way. So I'll be like, okay, I'll try it a different way, you know? And there's always going to be that one way that kind of works for them.
And I imagine it's nice in a situation like a homework club where, you know, your ratio is a lot lower, right? Yeah. So you can actually sit with a student and, you know, try all these different things, which, I mean, good teachers eventually figure out how to do that with all their students. We'll get there. All right. Awesome. So this is a big question. What are your hopes or your vision for Canadian women of color teachers? Like, kind of all of us as a as a group.
As a
which
group?
Which is difficult.
I think we need to motivate more women of color to become teachers. I think we need to push that a little bit more forward. We need to have teachers embody the student population, as well as again having these safe spaces, bringing that sense of community in the classroom. Because if we show students that, you know, there's a safe community in the school setting, it would motivate more, I think, more women of color or people of color to actually want to maybe see themselves become teachers in the future.
Cool. And what's one thing that teachers could do in their role right now to kind of move towards that?
All right, so having more incentive programs to ensure diversity in the classrooms or in the school settings, as well as try to promote more women of color, or people of color, students to think about teaching as a career. And again, the best way to do that is showing them that the school settings is also a safe community, so they feel like they are welcomed, or that this community would welcome them if they were to become teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you mean by incentive programs?
So making sure that the teachers resemble the student body. It's been a couple of years. Like, okay, I was born and raised here, and it's just surprising to me that there's still not as much diverse teachers, right? Since I was a lot more younger. So there's definitely a problem to that. So maybe having a lot more... or maybe having people look into it and maybe try to hire more diverse teachers is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last question, how can listeners get in touch with you?
Oh, wow. Twitter, I guess. I'm not as active, but I definitely will try to be more active at @MHILO.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, thanks so much, Medina, for this awesome conversation. We went in all these different directions, which is really exciting. And eventually we found a spot. So hopefully there's not too much background noise.
No.
And take care and all
Thank
the best.
You.
And
Thank
I'll you. See you at graduation.
See you at graduation.
Great.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so please leave a comment on SoundCloud or send me a tweet at @MSEMILYWONG. Thanks for listening to Kaleidoscope EDU. We are here and we are amplifying the voices of Canadian women of color teachers. Cheers.